Welcome back, all you true crime freaks. Thanks again for joining me on another episode of Follow Me Into the Dark. Once again, I am your host, Michelle. And if you have been listening to the last two episodes, you know that we are in a three-part story of the Zodiac Killer. So the first two episodes, I went over the murders, the crime scenes, the infamous ciphers and letters that were sent to the media to taunt everybody, the police. Zodiac being, of course, late 60s, early 70s, killing five, claiming to have killed 37, but five are confirmed Zodiac cases. So today we are going to dive into the suspects. Over the years, there have been several suspects, but no one has ever been arrested. It is still an open case. It is still a mystery as to who the killer really is. Now, there's been some crazy crackpot theories, but let's look into some of these suspects. Let's look into why they were looked at and why they were discredited. We're going to start off with Lawrence Kane. Now, why he was a suspect, Kane worked in the same Lake Tahoe hotel as Donna Lass, who disappeared in 1970 and may have been a Zodiac victim. She's not one of the confirmed ones, but she is one that they suspect and one that they feel is linked. He served in the Naval Reserves, where he might have learned coding, and in 1962, car accident left him with a brain injury, and he was diagnosed by a psychologist as losing the ability to control self-gratification. He was arrested for peeping in 1961 and for prowling in 1968. Darlene's sister Linda identified a photo of Kane. She said he is the man that was bothering Darlene at the restaurant. Falk, the San Francisco police officer, who probably saw the Zodiac right after the Steins murder, said that Kane's photo was closer than any other likeness he had seen. And Kathleen Johns, who escaped from him in the car, escaped from a man who picked her up in the car, that story that I talked about last time, and that was near Modesto in 1970, she also identified this photo as Kane, as her abductor, the guy that picked her up in the car. So Kane would have been 45 years old in 1969, and he was 5'9", and he was 160 pounds. So his physical description does match the eyewitnesses' accounts. Now, also when I was talking about that French guy who recently was in the news claiming to have cracked the cipher, this is the name that he said he found in the cipher, if you remember me talking about that. And then, as I mentioned, he was arrested twice, and one of those times was just months before the attack of Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday, the first confirmed cases. And last episode, we talked a bit about how serial killers will work into and work up to their killings, how they don't just wake up one day and go, you know, 0 to 60. It escalates over time. So this behavior does kind of fit that description of, you know, he's working up to things. He's just a peeping Tom. He's just doing small things and he's growing into this eventual serial killer behavior. Now, the disappearance of Donna Lass in Lake Tahoe was September of 1970, and he was said to be there working at the same place as her at that time. Also, according to the Nevada Division of Real Estate, Lawrence Kane moved to Las Vegas in 1971 and was a resident at the La Fonda Apartments in early 1971. And remember, the Zodiac letter stopped for almost 3 years, from March of 1971 until January 29th of 1974. Now, there was another murder that he was suspected of in 1974. A girl named Dana Lowell was abducted April 24th, 1974, from Red Rock Canyon, Las Vegas. Her body was later found in a mine shaft in San Bernardino, California. The person with her that survived described the suspect, and the description does closely match Lawrence Kane. The car described also fits Kane's car. So I'd say Kane is definitely a suspect on at least these two, but as far as being the Zodiac, the thing that rules him out is the handwriting. So there's him. Let's move on to Ross Sullivan. The reason he's a suspect is because the 1966 murder of Sherry Jo Bates in Riverside, California. And again, this is not a confirmed Zodiac case. So Sullivan was attending Riverside City College, and he worked as a library assistant. Now, staff at Riverside City College Library, near where Bates' body was found, said a co-worker, Ross Sullivan, had made them uncomfortable, and he disappeared for several days after the murder. It was also said that he always wore the same outfit, but after the murder, he started wearing something completely new. So that's kind of odd. This is also where they found the desk with that weird eerie poem written on it. The initials weren't RS, they were RH. But Sullivan, he also had a crew cut, and he had glasses that were similar to that composite sketch of the Zodiac. He is said to have the same vocabulary and writing style of the Zodiac letters. And again, like I said, he wrote creepy poems, and he even wrote an essay on how to disguise handwriting. He moved to Northern California in 1967, and he was actually hospitalized several times for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Sullivan wore an army jacket and military-style boots, like the footprints at the Lake Berryessa stabbing. And then also the Zodiac letter that mentions the Mikado, which is by Gilbert and Sullivan. Some say that could be a reference to Sullivan's name, which I don't know. I think that's kind of a stretch. But again, I think there's a lot of things that make him look like a strong possibility to be the Zodiac. His size doesn't match, though. He was 6'2" and large, and that just doesn't match. I just feel like if it was a large person, then the eyewitnesses would have noted that. They would have said something about this really tall, large guy, you know, the two survivors. That's something that they would have noticed. But both of them have said that he's around like 5'8", 5'9". And then also the police officer that supposedly had contact with the Zodiac when he left the cab driver murder. He didn't say he was 6'2". So I think that's a big factor. So anyways, moving on. Let's move on to the next suspect. Now the next suspect is a guy called Richard Marshall. Marshall, a ham radio operator and a movie projectionist, lived in Riverside in 1966 and in San Francisco near where the Stein murder was. There were people that told the police that he was an odd person and that he had talked about finding something much more exciting than sex. Marshall also liked old movies, including The Red Phantom, which was mentioned in a 1974 Zodiac letter. He lived in a basement apartment, which the Zodiac mentioned when he was talking about making his bomb in a basement. So he also owned a typewriter that was similar to the Zodiac, what the Zodiac had used. And they both liked felt tip pens and odd size paper. So I think that's also a stretch of similarities. He lived close to a couple other possible Zodiac murders. So he was ruled out. They said that there was similarities, but you know, one sheriff said he makes good reading, but not a very good suspect in my estimation. He later died in a nursing home in 2008. So again, I think that's a stretch. There's just a bunch of coincidences that, you know, he lived close to supposed Zodiac cases. So I don't think that's much to go on. He had a typewriter that was the same. He lived in a basement. He liked old movies. I think you're really grasping at straws with this one. So the next one was a guy named Richard Gadkowski. And he was an editor for a kind of an underground counterculture newspaper in San Francisco. But this former coworker of his sent this long letter to law enforcement accusing him of being the Zodiac and said that he even invited him to engage in violent acts with him. And this accuser, nicknamed Goldcatcher, so he appears in disguise on this episode of the History Channel's Mystery Quest in 09. And he has this recording of Gadkowski's voice. And on the show, a police dispatcher who spoke to the Zodiac said she thought it was the same voice. Researcher Tom Boyd also notes that Gyke, G-Y-K-E, appears in a part of a cipher the Zodiac said contains his identity. And then also, I guess he was a medic in the army, and they're really pulling at straws on this one. They said that since he tore a piece of the cab driver's shirt like you would for a tourniquet, then that's a link. So that's stupid. I think that's stupid. You know, he cut a piece of the shirt off because he mailed it in, and that's the only reason. If you're going to tear a piece of shirt off and use it for a tourniquet, is that your own tourniquet with your own blood on it? You didn't use it on the cab driver because you shot him in the head. So you're not going to mail in something with your own blood on it that you used for your own tourniquet. And it obviously wasn't because it was the blood from the cab driver. So anyways, that makes no sense. He was ruled out mainly because this Goldcatcher, the guy who accused him and wrote this letter and said that he was the Zodiac, he has very little credibility. He was a known conspiracy theorist, and he was described as one of the three top Zodiac kooks by a San Francisco police inspector. So, and then apparently he was also out of the country when the first murders happened at Lake Herman Road. So he was ruled out. He also died in 2004. Now, the next suspect is Earl Van Best Jr. So, this guy named Gary Stewart, he wrote a book in 2014, and it was called The Most Dangerous Animal of All. And he made a case that his biological father, Earl Van Best Jr., was the Zodiac. Stewart said that Best resembled the composite sketch of the Zodiac. He lived in California at the time of the killings, was interested in ciphers, knew a Satanist and a Manson family member, and liked Gilbert and Sullivan. Best also served time in prison for the statutory rape of Stewart's mother. So here's the situation on that. He met her, Earl Van Best Jr., met Judy Chandler at an ice cream parlor when he was 28 and she was 14. Gross. She was pregnant at 15 with their son, Gary, who's the guy who wrote this book. But Earl Van Best Jr. said it was love at first sight. They loved each other despite of the age difference. Also, Van Best may have held a grudge against the reporter, Paul Avery, because he wrote a series of articles about the couple. But Van Best was also accused of being an abusive father. He left Judy when Gary was just 1 month old, and so Gary was put up for adoption. Gary Stewart didn't learn of his biological parents until 2002. So he said he was watching a crime show one night, and he saw the sketch of the Zodiac and thought it looked just like his biological father, a picture that he had seen of his biological father. So Stewart claims he found Best's initials in the Zodiac cipher, and a document examiner said the handwriting on Best's marriage certificate matched the Zodiac's. So this is why he was ruled out. So the book got a lot of publicity, but experts quickly dismissed most of its claims. So the method he used to crack the cipher was very questionable. The fingerprint mark was similar to the Zodiac's, only if it was reversed. And the handwriting on the marriage certificate was actually the minister's, not Best's. So, nothing really panned out there. And as for his resemblance to the sketch, you know what? He had a crew cut and he had horn-rimmed glasses. And that was kind of a common look back in the 60s. So again, he was ruled out. Next, we're going to talk about Jack Terrence. So he was a suspect because Dennis Kaufman received extensive publicity claiming that his late stepfather, Jack Terrence, was the Zodiac. Kaufman said Terrence was a dead ringer for the composite sketch, and he claimed to have a stash of evidence, including a roll of film that had possible victims. He had this bizarre hooded costume, like the one the Zodiac wore during the Lake Berryessa attack. He was in the military, and the sketch resembled him. And really, that was it. There was nothing conclusive. Nothing matched. The handwriting didn't match. There wasn't any DNA that matched. So law enforcement pretty much just dismissed this evidence as nonsense. This was just another person, you know, putting out another book, trying to get some fame off of it, is how I look at that. Now, another suspect was Donald Lee Bujok, B-U-J-O-K. So he was a suspect because the hooded man who stabbed the couple at Lake Berryessa said that the attacker claimed that he escaped from a prison in Montana. So this guy was actually released in 1968 from prison after he was in for 11 years. 11 years of a life sentence for killing a sheriff's deputy, by the way. But apparently a former inmate talked about how he had said he was talking about killing people to make them slaves in the afterlife, just like the Zodiac letter had mentioned. And apparently the Halloween card sent to the reporter, Paul Avery, depicted harsh conditions at the prison, and that Boo on the inside referenced his name, Bujok. Bujok had been discharged from the army for mental health reasons. Apparently the marking on some Zodiac envelopes spelled out Zodiac is a veteran with F4 or 4F. And then it was also speculated that his signature, the cross with the circle symbol, was inspired by the helicopter landing pad at Fort Ord, California, where he was stationed. So he was ruled out because his fingerprints didn't match. A park ranger at Lake Berryessa claimed, Hartnell said the prison was in Colorado, not Montana. Bujok was released just 3 days before the Zodiac Lake Herman Road killing. Some researchers think he would have had difficulty traveling across three states in that amount of time. And he was actually incarcerated during the Bates murder. So if you believe that Bates is a Zodiac murder, then he would have, he would have been in prison at that time. So I don't think he's a very good suspect. I can see why they kind of looked into him, but eh. But let's move on to the most talked about suspect when it comes to the Zodiac. We're talking about Arthur Lee Allen. Arthur Lee Allen will forever be known as the person most likely to be the Zodiac. In October 1969, he was identified as a suspect for reasons unknown, but they had their suspicions of this guy. Now, Arthur Lee Allen was a former school teacher, but he was working as a janitor. He lost his job as a school teacher because he'd been caught molesting children. He was questioned in October 1969 about where he was during the Lake Berryessa attack. He said he was at Salt Point Ranch killing chickens. And there was a bloody knife in his trunk, and he said that was from killing chickens. And that was about 90 miles west of Lake Berryessa, where he said he was. So there was no direct evidence that linked him to anything. So the police just kind of let it go and forgot about him for the time being. Now, in 1971, an estranged friend of Allen's went to the police and said that prior to the Zodiac murders, Arthur Lee Allen had talked about having a desire to kill people and write letters to the media calling himself the Zodiac. The Vallejo and San Francisco police investigated and spent 2 weeks looking into Allen, gathering information, talking to people, including his brother and sister-in-law, and Don Chaney, who was the one who made these claims. Don Chaney was first friends with Allen's brother, Ron, and then he became friends with Allen. Then, at some point, Arthur Lee Allen attempted to molest one of Don Chaney's children. Don Chaney told Ron, and he was obviously upset, and this is in 1968, and he stopped talking to Arthur Lee Allen. Chaney also told police that Allen told him he wanted to write a novel talking about killing random couples, taunting police with letters, wearing makeup to disguise himself, securing a flashlight to a gun so he could shoot in the dark and call himself the Zodiac. So you hear this and you think, wow, that's really specific, and that's exactly everything that was carried out. But there's more. Let me continue. Chaney was questioned again years later. He also discusses a watch that was given to Arthur Lee Allen by his mother, and this watch apparently had the Zodiac symbol on it. Chaney also said that Allen told him he wanted to catch women by stopping their cars and telling them that there was a problem with their tire or that they have loose lug nuts. Then there was a connection discovered with Darlene and Arthur Lee Allen. Allen's family home was close to her restaurant. Allen talked about becoming friends with a waitress at the restaurant. Police records say an unidentified man named Lee often visited Darlene, stalking her. They also suspect that he borrowed a car for one of the murders. He was working at a gas station at the time, and a friend had put a car up for sale, and it was the car similar that was described in the murder. And so they think he borrowed that car from the friend for that case, for that killing. Now, in September of 1972, San Francisco Police Department get a warrant to search his trailer in Santa Rosa, California. Now, they find a bunch of weird shit in there, like dead squirrels in his refrigerator. They find sex toys. They find guns. But they find no hard evidence. They find handwriting that they can't connect. Nothing matches. Fingerprints that don't match. So he's let off the hook. In the early 70s, a political cartoonist named Robert Graysmith worked at the San Francisco Chronicle, and he became obsessed with this Zodiac case. So he decided to do his own investigation. In 1986, he published a book, and in his book, he does make it pretty clear that he believes Allen was the Zodiac. Arthur Lee Allen was also allegedly in Riverside during the Bates murder. And supposedly, he called in sick the day after, possibly to hide wounds. Now, there's also the footprint at Lake Berryessa, which was a military boot. He did have connections to the military. He was in the Navy, so maybe that's where he got the interest in coding and the ciphers and all of that. Also, the last letter was in July of 74. A few months later, Allen went to prison and there was no more letters. Then in 1978, just months after he was released, now the letters start showing up again at the Chronicle. Now, none of this was authenticated. Again, this is all circumstantial evidence. Arthur Lee Allen is the most suspected person of being the Zodiac. If you ask a lot of the law enforcement involved, that's who they say. But was he the Zodiac, or was he just an odd person? Now, Ralph Spinelli was a career criminal and went to authorities to make a deal with him. And he said that Allen told him that he had the desire to kill a cab driver. But this was all after the book came out. So, who knows? Because now, you know, Arthur Lee Allen is really much more connected with this Zodiac case. Now, they did reopen the case in 1991, looking into Allen some more. And a profiler at the time told authorities that if he was the Zodiac, he most likely would have some trophies. So they got another search warrant. Now, they found pipe bombs. They found Zodiac news clippings. They found that Zodiac watch. There was a gun. There was a typewriter, which was a Royal Model typewriter, which is the same as the letter that came in about Sherry Jo Bates. They searched other times, but they never had anything strong enough. No strong evidence. Everything is still circumstantial. Law enforcement said that they had a funny feeling coming out of that house. Like, they knew that he was the guy, and he was very shaky in his denials. Now, he was really the only one that was directly named by the investigators. A lot of things matched. The bloody knife in the trunk. They seemed to catch him in a lot of lies. But again, nothing substantial. Nothing that was enough to arrest him. Now, when Michael Michaud was in the hospital and he was shown pictures of possible suspects, Allen wasn't in those pictures. Now, later in 1992, he was shown a set of photos and Allen was in those photos. So Michaud pointed and said, "That's him." But at the time, again, that book was out already. So Allen was already known as a big suspect. And his name was associated with the Zodiac. Now, Michaud also pointed to another photo and said he had a face like him. But the police just kind of dismissed that for some reason. Now, the description that Michaud gave in 1969, it doesn't match Allen at all. So, Butterfield, this expert that I've talked about before, he doesn't think it's Allen at all. He found a lot of inaccuracies in Gray Smith's book, a lot of misquotes. There were things that were said that weren't actually said by Allen's family members, people that were supposedly interviewed but said that Gray Smith never actually came and interviewed him. So when you think about it, Allen first came up, supposedly what this all anchored on was Cheney, who was the guy who went and told authorities about this whole conversation that he had with Allen about him wanting to kill people and call himself Zodiac and all these details. So it is also known that Cheney falsified his story. He changed his story and his timeline, and it wasn't adding up. So he would change his story to fit the timeline. So here's what I think. Cheney had a child that Allen tried to molest. So how credible can his accusations be when he's going to have something against Allen? Like, he's going after Allen. Don't get me wrong. If you're a parent and somebody's messing with your kid, you better do something. But my point here is Allen tried to mess with your kid, with Cheney's kid. So can you believe what Cheney's saying when he's accusing him of being the Zodiac? Now, also, let me tell you, Alan is 6'5" tall, and he weighs 250 pounds. He is a big guy. So Michael Michaud said that the attacker was 5'8 or 5'9". And if it was somebody who was 6'5", I think that would be really noticeable. That is a big difference. Hartnell said that he did get a small glimpse of hair through the eye hole in that mask. And Arthur Lee Allen was balding. The officer that was walking past after the cab driver murder and supposedly or possibly ran into the Zodiac and saw him, he described him as being about 5'8", in his 40s, with reddish blonde hair, a crew cut, with glasses. There's no mention of balding. And when Kathleen Johns in 1992 was shown pictures again, she didn't pick out Alan. So I'm going to say I'm not too sure that Alan's the guy. Creepy, yes. A sick pedophile, yes. The Zodiac? I'm not so sure. Okay, so let's move on to one final theory, which is one of this author, Mark Hewitt. He wrote 3 books about the Zodiac. And in his 3rd book, he names who he thinks the Zodiac is. He thinks the Zodiac is none other than the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. He states things like Kaczynski studied mathematics, and the Zodiac symbol is actually a math symbol called a unit circle. He has experience with explosives. He lived in the Bay Area during the time of the Zodiac killings. He went to California for an interview in 1966. He moved there in 1967, and he was a professor at Berkeley in 67 through 69. Now, just 4 days after he retired, that's when the Blue Rock Springs murder happened. In 96, he was actually investigated for being the Zodiac, but nothing stuck. So there's some similarities there. I will give it to him that that's kind of a head scratcher. There's a lot of similarities there. But again, just similar things going on, nothing conclusive. So who knows? I don't agree with it, but maybe. Now, there is one ridiculous, silly, well, it started as a joke that the politician Ted Cruz is the Zodiac. It started as a funny meme and a joke, but it actually got some people riled up and thinking that he's the guy. So there's some idiots. There's some actual stupid people out there that think that this is possible. Don't fall for it, people. Ted Cruz was born in 1970, so that would be impossible. Somebody online said, well, he could have faked his birth certificate. Please don't be that stupid. And they even did a poll in Florida, and 38% of people said that they thought it could be Ted Cruz. So, they were unsure. Either they said yes, it could be, or they were unsure. Don't fall for that. I just threw that in because I think it's funny. That is not part of my legitimate research on actual suspects. So, just funny. But anyways, why don't we wrap this up? Who do you think it is? The popular answer is Arthur Lee Allen. And, you know, if it wasn't him, it sucks that he spent his life defending himself as not being the Zodiac, and he died with that following him around for so long. But at the same time, I cannot feel too much sympathy for someone who is known to molest children. So he's in hell either way. I don't know. I think there is a lot of head scratchers with some of those guys, right? but again, nothing solid. So when you listen to all the information surrounding this case, you know, there's a lot of hearsay, there's a lot of theories. Things get really muddy and tainted when everybody is putting their two cents in, and you get kind of overloaded. You've got people claiming that relatives are the Zodiac. And I've said it before, if there is profit to be made, like in a book selling, then I find it hard to believe or take any, see any credibility in what somebody is saying. If you're making a profit off of it, then, and that's your end result, then I find it hard to believe what you're saying. There are a lot of theories, not facts. And people tend to mold and adjust facts to fit their theories. Just remember that when you're looking into any of these situations. People will mold their theories. They will mold the facts to fit their theories. So just remember that. And just going through all these suspects, there is a lot of grasping at straws. When you think about it, there could be coincidences that might connect you or your spouse or your parent or your neighbor to the Zodiac. But again, unfortunately, nothing is solid. The eyewitnesses' accounts of the man having a crew cut and glasses, that's, again, not exactly out of the norm at the time. So people making claims that someone said something to them, people just living in the same area as crime scenes, those are all very weak, in my opinion. So, like I said, you be the judge. I gave you all the information, and it's too bad there's nothing stronger to go on. The book is a good read. It's been many years since I read it, but I remember liking it when I read it. The movie, I think it's a great movie. Also remember, it is a movie. It's not a documentary. It's a movie. So they embellish or they throw things in or they're going to, you know, they got to make it look good. So it's still a really good movie and it does hold true to a lot of the facts, but there are some embellishments in there. So just remember that. But it's a good movie. If you haven't watched it, watch it. But what I find interesting is the fact that knowing and speculating what type of person the Zodiac was, like what we were talking about in the past episodes, how he really seems to be narcissistic and attention freak. What I think is odd is why would he die and not let anybody know that he was the Zodiac? Like he seemed the type that would want to take credit for that. So wouldn't you let somebody know, like on your deathbed? Unless you weren't given the opportunity, but it seems like he would have even like left something behind that indicated. Wouldn't a personality like that want to let the world know on his way out that it was him? Just my thought. So anyway, there it is, wrapping up the Zodiac. Again, you be the judge. I don't know what I think, honestly. I think there's a lot of shaky evidence in there. And I'm not really solid on the fact that I think it's Arthur Lee Allen. So anyways, thanks for joining me on that long story. I hope everybody has a great week ahead. Again, my links to follow me are on the episode description. And if you want to contact me, of course, follow the Dark Podcast at gmail.com. If you have any comments or critiques or suggestions on future shows. But again, I am signing off. I will talk to you guys next week. Hope everyone has a wonderful week ahead. And until next time, stay dark, my friends.